Okay, so today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the Thursday of Janava Mata, the consort of Lord Nityananda. It's the appearance day of Sri Sita Devi, the consort of Lord Ram. And it's the disappearance day of Mahesh Pandit. Not Mahesh Pandit. It's not Mahesh Pandit. It's, is it right? Anyway. No, it's not Mahesh Pandit. Who was it? What does it say in the calendar? Madhu Pandit, sorry. Madhu Pandit, not Mahesh Pandit. So, anyway, we're going to speak a little bit about these three great personalities. And first we'll chant Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava, Kundavi Halti.
Yeah.
Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhayachananadavattubhidanna Goswami Maharshala Prabhupad Ki Jai, Iskan Found Racharya, Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai, Ananda Goti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Puran Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha, Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta, Shri Radha Krishna, Gopikopata Sayam Kun Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Ki Jai, Maturidam Ki Jai, Navadeepdam Ki Jai, Sami Ki Jai, Yamunamai Ki Jai, Shri Manigalasi Devi Ki Jai, Savita Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Gaur Priminanda Hari Hari. All glories, assemble the devotees, all glories, assemble the devotees, all glories, assemble the devotees. Glories to Shri Guru Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Raghunath Sumananda Shah Sivanjana Shlakaya Chakshurud Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Veda Maha. So, first we'll start talking about Madhu Pandit, because it's a very short story about Madhu Pandit. Of course, Madhu Pandit is a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and he is renowned for worshipping the Gopinath deity in Vrindavan. And of course that Gopinath deity is now in Jaipur, a beautiful deity of Gopinath, and his samadhi is right outside of the temple, the Gopinath temple in Vrindavan. And see what else? Oh yes, also he was the one who gave blessings to Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya was leaving Vrindavan on his way to preach Krishna consciousness along with Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami. So that's Madhu Pandit. And his siddha name is Mandali Sakhi. And don't ask me for more explanations about that. Except he works in under Champakalata, one of the Astasakis, that means the eight primary gopi associates of Srimati Radharani. So this is his siddha name. So don't ask me what Mandali does, because that's beyond my level of realization. All I know is chant Hare Krishna. Okay, so now we'll go on talk about Sita Devi, and I have a lot of information about Sita Devi. Of course, Sita Devi is the eternal consort of Lord Ram. She is Lakshmi incarnate, and when the Lord was asked by the demigods to come down to the earth to annihilate the miscreant Ravana and his family, the Lord told Lakshmi to come down with him. And so first, Lakshmi expanded as this personality known as Vedavati. Some of you may have heard this story before, but it bears telling. So Vedavati was determined to get Lord Narayan as her husband, so she was on top of the mountain meditating. She was the most attractive person. Of course, Lakshmi, everyone is attracted to Lakshmi. At least in the Indian culture, everyone is worshipping Lakshmi. And on Diwali, it's interesting, that's a special day for worshipping Lakshmi. It said you're not supposed to give money to anybody. So it's a bad day for beggars and sannyasis. So, because if you give money to anyone on that particular day, guess what? The rest of the year, the money flows out. Anyway, superstition. So she appeared as Vedavati, and she was meditating to get Lord Narayan as her husband. And along comes this handsome young man named Ravana, riding on the Pushpaka Vimana. Vimana means airplane, Pushpaka means flower. So this is the flower airplane that he stole from his brother, half-brother, Kuvera. So he lands there, he sees the beautiful woman, and he says, will you be mine? And she said, I'm not going to be yours because I'm meditating to get Lord Narayan as my husband. And then he grabs her by the hair because he doesn't care about ordinary etiquette. And she makes her hand like a knife, and she cuts her hair right between where Ravana's grabbed it and her head, of course. And she decides to immolate herself. That means go into a fire, a self-manifested fire, because she feels that she's been defiled by the touch of this demon. And she, as she's burning and leaving this world, she says that I'm going to take birth in your kingdom and be the cause of your death. So then what happens later on, there's a little girl who appears in the kingdom of Ravana, known as Lanka, floating on a lotus flower. And Ravana, of course, connects the two stories. And he asks Vibhishan, get rid of this girl, throw her in the ocean. So Vibhishan, he's a good guy amongst the Rakshasas. He puts this little girl in the ocean, hands the girl over to Varuna, the sea god. Varuna hands her over to Bhumi, the earth goddess, and Bhumi, of course, puts her in this little golden case, which is later discovered by King Janaka. Now, King Janaka is a very interesting person. Actually, all the kings in King Janaka's dynasty are called Janaka. The reason being, I'll tell the reason based on this story, that his ancestor was named King Nimi, and this is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. King Nimi had incurred the wrath of his spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, because King Nimi had done a Sankirtan sacrifice, while his spiritual master was up on the heavenly planets, not waiting for his spiritual master to come back. So when Vasishtha Muni came back, he cursed his disciple, King Nimi, to become near Deha, without a body. And his disciple, King Nimi, cursed his guru to become near Deha without a body. So they both died simultaneously. And later on, Vasishtha Muni appeared from the semen of Mitra and Varuna. And King Nimi, he died. And his body was kept in a vat of oil until the Brahmanas completed the sacrifice. And when they completed the sacrifice, the demigods came down and they asked the demigods to bring King Nimi back to life. King Nimi said, I don't want to be back to life because I was back to Godhead. So why should I take birth in this horrible material world again? Why should I appear again? So they let him go back to Godhead, and they decided they needed another king because King Nimi didn't have any children. So they just couldn't pick anyone to be the king. It had to be someone who had the proper genes. So they manipulated, or as described in the Ramayana, they churned the body of King Nimi, and also in the Bhagavatam, the story is there. They churned the body of King Nimi, and out of that body came Janaka the First. That means he was born, Janaka. And because this was done in Janaka's city, or Nimi's city, and the process of churning is called Maitiya, his city became known as Maitila. You understand? And that's the history. So Janaka first, second, third, fourth, and whatever number was the Janaka was the father of Sita Devi. So Janaka, the father of Sita Devi, or who was going to become the father of Sita Devi, had a problem in his land, in his country, because there was a drought. And in order to sort of like counteract this drought, he was advised by the Brahmanas to plow the land. Now generally, during the season of plowing, which is sort of the spring, the king would actually be the first one to break the soil. This was the tradition there. And so he took not a mechanistic plow like we have nowadays. He didn't get on his tractor. They had a bullock. And the bullock, that means an oxen, was pulling the plow. And the point of the plow, which is called the sito, hit this little case in which sita devi was in, and it wouldn't move anymore. So they dug out this box and they found the little girl over there. And Janaka decided to adopt her as his daughter because he didn't have any other children. He adopted her as his daughter. She was very, very nice. And one day, Parashuram came to visit. This is when Sita Devi was very, very small, little tiny baby still. Came to visit the kingdom, and he wanted to give Janaka Maharaj this gift of the bow of Lord Shiva, which he had. So he gave Janaka Maharaj this gift of the bow of Lord Shiva, and this bow of Lord Shiva was so heavy that it took, it's described in the Ramayana, it took like 50 men just to roll it on the ground, what to speak of pick it up. You know, 50 men had to grab the ropes and just pull it. And so that bow was there. And while Parashuram was there visiting Janaka Maharaj, Sita Devi came out, and there's some different stories about this. One story, she was playing with the ball, and the ball was under the bow, or she needed to get the ball from up high where it was stuck, and she needed a stick to unstick it. She picked up the bow. This little tiny girl, she was like just a baby, basically, like maybe a little older, 4 or 5. She picked up the bow and just held it like it was a piece of grass in her hands. And so when all the soldiers saw that, they were completely shocked, and they carried the news to Janaka, who was there with Parashuram. And Parashuram, Lord Parashuram, stated this indicated that the person who would marry Sita Devi would have to pick up the bow and string it. So later on, during the Swayamvara for Sita Devi, Swayamvara means the lady chooses her own, Swayamvara. And different personalities came to try to pick up the bow. I mean, there's even some stories that Ravana came and he couldn't pick it up. But in any case, eventually Lord Ram came. He picked up the bow and the bow broke. Now, you'll notice I didn't say that Ram broke the bow, because Ram didn't break the bow. That may come as a surprise to all of you. It's explained by the Acharyas that the bow decided to break. And why did the bow decide to break? Because it was Lord Shiva's bow. And that bow did not want to be utilized in the fight against Lord Ram. So the bow actually voluntarily broke. Then Lord Ram married Sita Devi. And when he married Sita Devi, of course his brothers also married, his three brothers married, one Lakshman of course married the sister of Sita Devi, and the cousins of Sita Devi were married by Bharata and Shatrughna. So on the way back from the marriage sacrifice, going back to Ayodhya, Parashuram appeared. And Parashuram was extremely angry that the bow that he had given to Janaka had been broken. So he said, "Who has broken this bow?" And everyone was getting nervous because obviously Parashuram had some issues with Kshatriyas. Because his father had been killed by a Kshatriya, Kartavira Arjuna. And later on, he killed Kartavira Arjuna, cut off all his arms, killed Kartavira Arjuna's children, killed the Kshatriyas, created rivers of blood. So he really had it in for Kshatriyas. So everyone was very nervous at that particular point. So what happened is that Lakshman sort of incurred the wrath of Parashuram, and he said, "You know, anybody could have broken the bow. What was it, just a little twig?" And Parashuram was saying, "Who's this kid?" And Ram had to step in and say, "Well, I was the one who broke the bow." And then Parashuram said, what's your name? And he said, Ram. And Parashuram got even angrier, because I am Ram. What did he mean? You have the name Ram too, and you broke the bow. So everyone was shivering with fear. Oh my God, what's going to happen to Ram? And then Parashuram said, all right, if you think you're so brave, you think you're so strong, I'm going to give you the bow of Vishnu to test your mettle. So everyone was getting nervous at this particular point. And then what happened is that Parashuram looked up and Ram already had the bow of Vishnu in his hands. And he drew the bow back, you know, with an arrow. And he said, look, I've already drawn the bow back. I have to shoot the arrow, so where do you want me to shoot it at, Parashuram Prabhu? And Parashuram said, well, there's two things you can shoot it at. One is all my accumulated merit from performing all these austerities. The other thing is you can destroy my ability to travel at the speed of mind to anywhere I want. So please don't destroy the ability to travel at the speed of mind to anywhere I want, because if you do that, I won't be able to fulfill my promise to my father, Kashyapa, to actually stay out of the earth planet. You know, just visit for a little while, but stay out. So destroy my merit. So Ram drew back the bow, the string of the bow, of course, and fired the arrow, and Parashuram's merit was destroyed, and Parashuram left that particular place, and they proceeded to Ayodhya. Now, Dasharatha was actually extremely happy at this particular juncture, that now I've gotten a wonderful daughter-in-law, not only one daughter-in-law, but daughters-in-law for all my sons. And he was thinking, it's come time, because he saw some inauspicious symptoms, it's time to install Ram as the next king, you know, Yuvaraj it's called, the crown prince. That's a fancy name for crown prince. So when he saw these inauspicious symptoms and decided to do that, Bart and Shatrughna were not there. They were visiting their paternal family. I'm sorry, maternal family, not paternal family. So, but he decided, I must do it right away because there's inauspicious signs. And then, of course, we had Mantara, who influenced Kaikeyi to turn against Ram and to insist that Bharat would become the next king, and then Ram would be exiled to the Dandakaranya forest. So, anyway, this whole story occurred, and Dasarath was completely upset about the whole thing. Finally, he calls for Ram, and he tells Ram, this is, or actually not that he tells Ram, Kaikeyi has to tell Ram, and Ram says to Kaikeyi, even if you ask for it, I would do it. So then Ram goes back to Sita Devi, continuing the story of Sita Devi, and tells Sita Devi, this is a quote from the Valmiki Ramayana, I'm just going to read this. He says, Janaki, and it's actually quite interesting that sometimes someone will refer to his wife or friend in terms of their relationship with someone else rather than his relationship with them, if you understand what I'm talking about. Because Janaki means the daughter of Janaka. So because he's having something very difficult to present to Sita Devi, he's not saying Sita Devi, he's calling Janaka. Janaki, the daughter of Janaka. And you'll see this is also present some in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Satyabhama is called, when Krishna gets angry at Satyabhama, he calls her Satyajati, that means the daughter of Satyajit, rather than Satyabhama. So you can tell by the nomenclature how someone is called that there is something happening, or you can define a relationship. So here, and Ram is also feeling at this particular point, because this is Yogamaya, even though he understands that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he forgets this under the influence of Yogamaya, so he's actually feeling, beginning to feel here separation. He's telling her that she's going to have to remain in the kingdom and he's going to go to the forest, but something else happens. So he says, "Dear Janaki, do not feel or grieve what I'm going to tell you. I have to leave the capital for a distant place. You should see me off without tears." Of course, this is also, practically speaking, the same thing that Lakshman said to his wife, Urmila. He said, "While I'm gone, you should not cry." And he said to her, "Be good and courteous towards Bharata also. Permit me to leave." And Sita Devi, of course, didn't want to hear about this. The quote is, she said, "My Lord, I cannot stay for a moment in a place without you. In your absence, this Ayodhya will be a jungle to me. The forest wherein you stay will be my kingdom. My life runs under your shadow. It is not becoming of you to leave me behind." And Ram begins to explain to her, "Sita, you do not know about jungle life. It is not a cozy royal garden, cruel wild animals, and evil demons, rakshasas, infest it. You hear ferocious voices. You have to live on roots and wild fruits. A tender lady like you cannot understand these hazards. You have to pass every day in fear of some impending danger. After all, 14 years is not a long period, and I'll be back soon." So, but Sita Devi would not hear about any of this. She said, whether it is that this shows her great devotion, because she's known as the epitome of chastity. "Whether it is a jungle or town, it is my duty to be with you. I do not care for comforts here. I am not afraid of the difficulties we may encounter in the forest. You are such a lion of a man. Can't you protect me there?" And then she began to cry, and tears just started to roll down her cheeks. And Ram finally says, relenting, "Sita, if you are with me, any jungle is heaven. Let it be as you desire. Prepare to leave." So you see the great love. And this is actually a love story, Sita and Ram story. So, anyway, so then they went on pilgrimage together. Of course, Ram also brought his brother Lakshman, who insisted to come. And as they were on pilgrimage, Ram, of course, was still carrying, it's described when he went on pilgrimage, he was acting like a hermit. In fact, he even put the tree sap in his hair. This is a traditional method when you were going on pilgrimage or going to the forest. So you wouldn't cut your hair. And so you wouldn't get into decorating it. You would take the sap from the tree and just like mix it with all the hair. I don't know if any of you know, ladies can relate to this. It's just like, I mean, I hate to say this, but when I was young, in order to tease the girls, I'd sometimes put bubble gum in their hair. Anyways, and they really hated it. So imagine the sap in the hair. And so finally when Ram came back, of course he had to shave off all of his hair because he couldn't deal with it because it had this gooey sap in it. So Sita Devi commented to Ram that now you've taken the guise of an ascetic, and you should not, she was giving advice to Ram. This shows also how a chaste wife can give advice to her husband. It's not that they just remain in the kitchen rolling chapatis all the time. So she said, you should not carry weapons. She said to him, the rakshasas will become your enemies. How can you kill these innocent rakshasas who have not harmed us in any way? And also, she told some stories that if you're carrying a weapon, once upon a time, she tells a story that Indra, he was very worried about a particular sage who was doing austerities. And he was thinking the sage wanted to take over the heavenly planets. So in order to deviate the sage from his determination, he gave the sage a weapon. And as soon as you have a weapon in your hand, there's the inclination to use it. I mean, if any of you can try that out, you know, take a gun or something, and then you simply go, you know, automatically. Sometimes we put water pistols in little children's hands, and immediately they start. Even Prabhupada, he demanded two. He wasn't satisfied with just one water pistol. So that's what weapons do to you. And Sita Devi, of course, Ram is transcendental to all this, but Sita Devi was preaching to Ram. And he explained, you know, I have to kill these rakshasas because they're harassing the sages in the Dandakaranya forest. And so finally, she gave in. And eventually, living in the forest, what happened is that this beautiful girl named Suppanaka fell in love with Ram. And Suppanaka had the ability to change her form. She had won that benediction from Lord Brahma when she was performing austerities with her brothers, Vibhishan and Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And so she changed her form into a very beautiful princess, a beautiful girl. And she approached Ram, and we know the story goes that Ram told her, my wife is here, and it wouldn't be very good for you, but my brother, his wife is not here, so you can approach Lakshman. So she approached Lakshman and said, Lakshman, I love you. And Lakshman said, well, there's a problem. If you get married to me, you're going to have to be a servant. And I'm sure if you go back to Ram, because I'm Ram's servant, and if you go back to Ram, he'll soon forget that thin-waisted girl, because it's described that Suppanaka had a beer belly. Not necessarily from drinking beer, but, you know, she had a belly on her. So she goes back, and finally she understands that Lakshman and Ram are just teasing her. And she gets so angry, she begins to threaten Sita Devi, and of course, Lakshman comes up and gives her a nosectomy and earectomy. That means cuts off her nose, cuts off her ears, and there's another part of the body, which I'm not going to mention, Bhagavatam class, that he cuts off. So, then she goes back to her brothers, Kara and Dushan, complains about the whole thing, and they send 14 giants to attack Ram. Ram kills them all. Then 14,000 Rakshasas come, and Ram fires his bewildering weapon, and all the Rakshasas think that each of the other Rakshasas is Ram, and they start fighting each other and killing each other off. And so then finally he kills Karandusha. And so he's killed all these Rakshasas. Suppanaka eventually, of course, goes back to Ravan, makes a complaint. Actually, Suppanaka, just a little side story here, Suppanaka wanted to get Ravan killed. Now you may say, why? He's her brother. Because previously Ravana had killed Suppanaka's husband. Suppanaka's husband was the king of the netherworlds, I mean, down there. Not necessarily geographically down there, but the lower regions. And Ravana attacked the lower regions of the universe, and what happened is he killed Suppanaka's husband. So Suppanaka was really angry with Ravana. And so that's why Ravana sent her away to Janmastan to be with his brothers Kara and Dushan, because hell hath no fury like the sister whose husband has been killed, as the saying goes. So she really wanted to get Ravana in trouble. And actually, Ravana at first, when he was informed by one of his soldiers about what had happened and how beautiful Sita Devi was, he didn't want to mess with Ram. But it was actually Suppanaka who later on came and convinced him to mess with Ram. And the way she convinced him is by saying that basically, I went there to get Sita Devi for you. She lied. Instead of thinking or saying that she went there to get Ram for herself, she told Ravana that she went there to get Sita Devi. And then she began to describe how beautiful Sita Devi was and all that other nice stuff. So then, story goes, that Ravan becomes determined to kidnap Sita Devi, and then he enlists the help of Uncle Marich, who eventually relents because he doesn't want to be killed by Ravan. He'd rather be killed by Ram, knowing that he'd go back to Godhead in that particular instance. So he takes the form of a golden deer. Ram chases after the golden deer, and Lakshman is inspired to also try to help Ram when the golden deer being hit, or Marich being hit, cries out, Lakshman, Lakshman. And Sita Devi is kidnapped by Ravan. And actually, it's not the real Sita Devi that is kidnapped by Ravan. It's Maya Sita who's kidnapped because Ram knew what was going to happen, and he exchanged the real Sita for Maya Sita, an expansion of Sita, who is the same person as Vedavati. Vedavati is the expansion of Sita Devi, too. So, So then when Ravan grabs Mayasita, puts her in the chariot, then you have Jataya who attacks the chariot, destroys the chariot, and the chariot is, it's not the Pushpaka Viman at this particular point, it's a chariot being drawn by asses with human heads. I mean, it's donkeys, in case you don't know what an ass is. Donkeys with human heads. And Jatayu destroys the chariot, destroys the donkeys, destroys the human heads too. And Ravana kills Jatayu, cuts off his wings. And Ravana flies back to Lanka with Sita Devi under his own power because he's able to fly through the air. Rakshasas had that particular ability. So he flies back, and we all know the story that Ravana is not even able to touch Mayasita, who later on falls in love with Lord Ram because he's chanting Lord Ram's name during the whole year. And eventually Ram comes and kills Ravana. I'm not going to tell the whole Ramayana story. And after he kills Ravana, then the Mayasita comes, who everyone thinks is the real Sita, and Ram refuses to accept her. He says to Lakshman, put her in the fire. So Lakshman arranges the fire. Sita Devi walks, Mayasita walks in the fire, and the real Sita comes out. And Ram accepts the real Sita, and he stays with her for some time in Ayodhya when they return to Ayodhya. But then there's a washerman who complains about Ram accepting Sita Devi back, because he's upset with his own wife, who I guess went away or came back a little late that night, and he refuses to accept his wife, and he says, I'm not like that Ram who accepted his wife back. Who do you think I am? He said, get away. You know, he kicks him. This is horrible, actually. And then the spies tell Ram this, and then Ram goes out dressed as an ordinary man just to hear what people are talking about. And it turns out that other people are talking about the same thing. You know, the Ram has accepted his wife back after she's been in another man's home for a whole year. So, you know, what kind of chastity is that? And so then Ram tells Lakshman to take Sita Devi and drop her off in the forest. And Sita Devi is like 7 or 8 months pregnant at this particular point. So Lakshman drops her off in the forest, and after this, Lakshman practically drops to the ground himself, crying, tears coming from his eyes. He can't believe he's followed this order of his brother. And Sita Devi goes to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And 15 years later, two boys appear in Ayodhya, and they recite the Ramayana, and they're actually the sons of Sita Devi. And this Ramayana has been taught to them by Valmiki Muni. And so Valmiki Muni, at this particular point, of course I'm skipping through a lot of the story, says to Ram, here is your wife Sita, you should accept her back. And Ram says, I will only accept her back if she can prove her innocence. And she's actually proved her innocence in the ashram of Valmiki Muni before. There's an interesting story told in the Valmiki Ramayana how the brahmacharis in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, they didn't know it was Sita Devi. They thought she was a forest girl, you know, someone that came from the forest, and then she was pregnant, and they were having some doubts about her. You know, what's the chastity of this woman? She may be a loose woman. So Valmiki Muni had a whole test in which he proved Sita Devi's chastity. There was this lake right next to the ashram. It was called the Shivi Shagara. That means basically the pigeon lake. Literally, that's what it means. And so it's called the pigeon lake because once upon a time there were two pigeons, a man pigeon and a woman pigeon. I guess male and female, you would say man and a woman. Male and female pigeon. And the female pigeon came back a little late from getting worms that day. And the male pigeon said, you know, you're unchaste. And the female pigeon said, you know, what are you talking about? Pigeons are not supposed to be chaste. And the male pigeon said, in this ashram, this is the special ashram of Valmiki Muni, pigeons are supposed to be chaste. And if you want to prove your chastity, if you think you are chaste, you want to prove your chastity, you have to fly over this whole lake, which is like 80 miles long or 800 miles long or something like that, and prove and not fall into the water. And the pigeons can't fly that long. So she said yes, and she began to fly and was sinking down, almost touching the water. And she prayed to the demigods, and the demigods, seeing her chastity, allowed her to fly over this whole lake. So Valmiki Muni said, because that happened with the pigeon, Sita Devi should pass the same test. She should be able to go over the lake without entering the water, and she did. And then the brahmacharis kept their mouths shut after that point. The agitated brahmacharis. So, interesting story. So Sita Devi was definitely, she never thought of anyone else other than Ram. In fact, when she was asked by Ram to prove her innocence or chastity, she actually made the statement, if I have never thought of anyone else other than Ram, never thought of, even for an instant, even for a nanosecond, because she didn't say nanosecond, that's a new nomenclature, then let the earth open up and take me away from this horrible place. You know, I've been insulted so many times. You know, there's a limit. Because she was upset. I mean, naturally, you know, if you've been chaste or been loyal for so many years and they keep questioning you, I mean, it's traumatic, isn't it? It's traumatic. You know, you're sent away when you're pregnant. This is too much. Even Sita Devi said that. And so what happened is the earth, as we know, the earth, here's the quote. It said, if Ram has always been foremost in my heart, may my mother earth, Bhumi, please deliver me. If I have been only true to him, holy mind, body, and soul, then may my mother earth deliver me. If I have loved none but him, let my mother earth deliver me. And all of a sudden there was an earthquake, the earth opened up, and Bhumi came, and there was a beautiful throne, and Sita Devi was seated on the beautiful throne with Bhumi, and the throne was supported by these nagas. Nagas means like celestial snakes with fiery eyes and jewels on their heads. And then gradually that throne sunk into the earth, and the earth closed up, and Ram, he took out his bow and arrow and said, I'm going to destroy the earth planet because it's my Sita has been taken away from me. And then demigods came down and said, you know, this is your pastime. Don't destroy the earth planet. So there's an interesting commentary one with this by Sripad Madhvacharya in his Mahabharat Tat Paranirnaya. He says, Pravishya bhumam sa devi loke trishanu sarataha ne ramena vyukta vaskarena prabhayata. That beautiful Sita Devi seemingly entered into the earth, although actually she always remains with Lord Ram, just as the sun rays are always with the sun. In other words, Sita Devi was always with Ram, even though people couldn't see her. Just like Krishna is always in Vrindavan. It's aprakata, lila. He's there in Vrindavan, but you just can't see him. So Sita Devi was always next to Ram. And in fact, when Ram was asked to get remarried because there was a need to have your wife next to you when you're doing the sacrifice, he said, I'm not going to get remarried, but you can make a golden image of Sita Devi to stand or sit beside me while I'm doing the sacrifice. And Ram remained on the earth for 13,000 more years without his wife, feeling great separation. Of course, always understanding that Sita Devi was with him. Like Prabhupada commented, I am never separated from my spiritual master. In other words, my spiritual master is with me. There's an interesting story I heard the other day that when Prabhupada went to Mayapur, one of the first times Prabhupada went to Mayapur, he went by the samadhi of his spiritual master, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur, instead of stopping there to offer obeisances. and he went straight to our property, or his property, and his godbrothers criticized him. He said, you didn't stop at the samadhi of his spiritual master, our spiritual master. What kind of etiquette is that? And Prabhupada very angrily said, don't they understand? I'm never separated. I'm always in the association of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my spiritual master. So this is the position, of course, of Sita Devi and Ram. That Sita Devi is always with Ram, Ram is always with Sita Devi, and the disciple is always, the bona fide disciple is always with the guru. There's never any separation. So these are some stories about Sita Devi. And I guess tomorrow we can talk about Janava Mata. I prepared some stuff about Janava Mata too. So any questions or comments? We have about half a minute left. Yes?
I was under the impression that Sita was newly pregnant when she was sent away, and Ram didn't know she was pregnant. But
that's not what the Valmiki Ramayana says.
She was that pregnant.
Yeah. It doesn't say necessarily how many months, but she was pregnant. She was pregnant, and he sent her away. I mean, obviously, you know, no matter how many months she was pregnant, he knew because they performed the Garbhodhan Sanskar to have children. So, anyway, it's a heavy story. I'm not in favor of Ram sending Sita Devi away. There's one time I object. I protest against the Lord's actions. And then we know it's Vipralamba Seva and all those other things like that, but it's not something that I like. I have to be honest. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Radhagalukananda Ki Jai. Thank you all for joining.